Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're getting very close to the Christmas holiday, the celebration of Christ's birth. When that happened many, many years ago, angels, you know, were all a part of that story. They appeared to Joseph and to Mary and the shepherds, and it was all about Jesus. And, Jesus was given the name Jesus because he was going to save his people from their sins. There was also said of him that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the names of Jesus, we see the gospel story. We see what Christ has come to accomplish for us. Well, what happens to those who receive him? I love this passage in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 43. Peter is talking to Cornelius, is in Cornelius's home, a Jew inside of a Gentile dwelling place. That was not allowed. That was against Jewish law, but Peter did it anyway because God told him to. And so he marched in and he started sharing about Jesus, and he comes to this: all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Are you in Christ? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you received him? If that's true, then you have received forgiveness of sins. You've been given that gift. All of your sins, past, present, and future, have been wiped away, taken away from you once and for all, and that forgiveness that Jesus provided through his shed blood is now yours. There's no more forgiveness to be had. He's given it all at once. I mean, he's just dumped the whole truck of forgiveness right on you. And there's nothing you can do to get more. Why? Because you already have it all. And that is really good news. Jesus Christ truly is a Savior, and when we receive him, we receive that forgiveness of sins that we so desperately needed.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends. And the program is called Basic Gospel. We're glad that you've joined us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. That's the reason we're here live every day, so that you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or your particular life issue for discussion. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Bob?
Well, thanks. Let's go to Taylor, Texas, and talk with Larry. Hi, Larry.
Good afternoon, Bob and Bob. I have a question. I thank you for taking my call. The question my daughter posed last night, and she said, what scriptures can you use when speaking to someone about the necessity for the virgin birth? I haven't had the time to go try to come up with a list of them, so I thought I would probe you guys' mind first.
Well, Larry, I think we probably have three different passages that you can look at. Richard, lay those out on us.
Well, the first one would be in Isaiah. It's the first time a virgin birth is talked about. I'll give you the specific verse. You should look at the context, though. Verse 14 of Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. That's a pretty good, strong indicator. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. One of the reasons Jesus had to be born of a virgin is because God said it was going to be that way. It's as simple as that. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin's going to have a son. We're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's repeated, of course, over in Matthew 1, 2, the whole story with Joseph and Mary.
And that whole passage is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24.
Yeah.
So if you'll write that down, Larry, that's passage number 2.
Yeah, then there's another one in Luke, I believe. I don't have that exact. I think
Luke 2. Chapter 2, starting in verse 26, all the way down to 38.
Yeah.
So Luke chapter 2, verses 26 through 38.
Yeah. So the important part of her question is why? I love that she's asking that question. Well, the answer to that question is that God said it would be that way. Right? A lot of people have made a lot of long involved arguments about why it had to be a virgin. And I personally think that most of those arguments don't yield a lot of light. They get into a lot of speculation. And if we just stick with the Bible and say, look, God said it was going to be that way, so it was that way. Jesus was born. He is God. He was sinless. We aren't. He needed to be who he was in order for him to save us. And God's the one that set it up.
Larry, does that help?
It does. I think her question probably dealt more specifically with the fact that the sin nature is passed down through the father as opposed to the mother.
Well, except that every mother that I've ever known in the history of ever has a sin nature. So if Jesus was of the exact same substance as Joseph or Mary, then he would have needed a Savior. He would have been born dead spiritually. But Jesus was different than them. He's different than you and me, so that he did not need a Savior. He could be the Savior. It's a very important point.
I guess that's why in these particular passages, it really focuses on the fact that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That Mary's womb was just basically a borrowed womb.
She
didn't really add or participate in that process. She was just a borrowed womb, so to speak.
Yes,
she was blessed of all people.
She didn't donate an egg to the process.
Right.
Okay, now how do we know that?
Because Jesus was sinless. That's the only conclusion you can come to. Jesus is sinless. If he was truly human in the way you and I are human, he wouldn't have been sinless. He would have been spiritually dead the way we're born. So he had to be born sinless, which means it could only be a miracle of God. It's the Holy Spirit came on Mary and implanted him into the womb.
Okay, then he arrived as an embryo, not as an egg being fertilized.
Correct.
Okay.
I think, given what we know about genetics and all of that, that's the only reasonable way to say it anymore. Otherwise, you get into all kinds of speculation about, you know, who's sinful and who's not, and I don't think the Bible supports that. All of us are sinful. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, except for Jesus. And he became sin without ever being sinful.
Okay. I had never thought of it as bypassing the egg, but that would really, and I always wonder, how are we going to use the egg in there and bypass the sin nature of Mary?
Yeah.
So we're doing it by just bypassing the egg entirely.
Yeah, it's truly a miracle of grace that Jesus could be born, but God worked it and God brought it about, and we are the happy beneficiaries of that grace.
Yeah, as Mary said, how can this be?
Yeah.
The answer is nothing's impossible with God. So this conception was immaculate. It was of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the virgin birth is an important doctrine. I mean, it's not something that we can overlook, not something that we can just say, oh, that's just a fairy tale. It has to be that way so that Christ could truly be the Savior that he is.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call, Larry. Great question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
Hope that helps. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, just for being on the broadcast today. You hold on.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you, Larry. Merry Christmas to you, too.
And, Bob, for our listeners who would like to get a copy of Forgiveness, The Door to Life, one is available to you for a gift of any amount to this ministry. We need your support at this particular time of the year, and by the end of the month, Bob, I think you mentioned yesterday we need something in the order of, what, around $300,000?
$300,000 between now and the end of the year. That will help us meet our budget. Will put us on solid financial ground to start 2014. That's always a wonderful position to be in. So we're trusting the Lord to work in the hearts of people all around this country, really all around the world, to stand up and support what God is doing through Basic Gospel. It is a worthwhile investment for many of our supporters. They write to us and tell us that's a check that they write that puts a smile on their face. Yeah. Why? Because it makes a difference in people's lives. So come join the Basic Gospel financial team. Help us reach this year-end goal of $300,000. There's a sense of urgency behind it. Sure. We just have a couple of weeks before we're at the December 31st deadline. Mm-hmm. So make a gift today. Don't wait and let it kind of skip your mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make a contribution today, and all the different ways to do so are simple and easy. So take advantage of our website, our toll-free order line, or do it the old-fashioned way. Write out a check and mail it to you. We'll accept it either way.
You betcha. Forgiveness, the door to life. Here's for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Guys, a question from Carol. I want to give the phone number first, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, friends. Plenty of time for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If there's something kind of bugging you in life, why, let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377. Now from Carolyn, who lives in Midlothian, Texas. What is God's plan for a wife, to be a career woman or a housewife? We live in a society where it's unnatural to most husbands if their wives do not work, but rather as a homemaker. Carolyn goes on to say, I'm married and have the desire to be a homemaker, as I know in my heart that's what God has called me to do. I'm not cut out to be a career person, and I have been during the course of my marriage. I become so discouraged because I know my husband wants me to work always. What does God's word say to Carolyn about being a career woman or a housewife?
Well, it doesn't really say anything about either one. I mean, there were women in the Bible that worked outside of the home. There were women in the Bible that didn't work outside the home. The fact of the matter, that's more of a marriage situation instead of just a wife situation. What do you and your husband decide together? That's the issue there. And I think if you'll look at it in that light, then the two of you can come to a decision that is beneficial for you two as a married couple and your family. And it doesn't have to be the same decision every other couple makes. I think that is the joy of knowing the Lord, that our situation can be unique, different from anybody else's, but it can still be a situation where we are experiencing the true benefit of what marriage is supposed to be. So I think this is first and foremost a marriage question, not a wife or a husband question. So sit down with your husband. Y'all work it out.
Yes.
I know today there's a lot of financial pressure. There's a lot of fear inside of husbands. And so they're thinking, gosh, if I could just get my wife to work, then that would release some of the pressure that I am sensing and I am feeling. Well, sometimes we make decisions. The wife says, okay, I want to go to work. But the decision is based on fear, not faith in the Lord. And that's what the real issue is. You come together, you lay this out, and you choose options that are based on a dependent relationship upon Christ, because he's promised to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. You can count on that. He's not going to abandon you. That's not the God that we serve. So come together and make a decision based on faith. Sometimes, you know, we make those decisions based on fear. The wife goes to work, and when you look at the numbers, how much she has to pay for gas, how much she has to pay for new clothing, how much has to be invested in babysitting services and all of those sort of things, and how much money you spend on eating out and all of that, it becomes a negative situation. You would have been better off for her to stay at home. So you need to look at it with realistic eyes, not just say, hey, I think this is going to help us financially. Do the homework. Do the research. Make sure that it will, because a lot of times when you do the research, you're going to find out that her going to work isn't necessarily going to benefit you financially. You're in worse position than you were before. So sit down together, make a decision together, but do so out of faith and trust in the Lord, not based on fear of what may or may not happen.
Carolyn, hope you are listening. Hope that's been a help to you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now.
Let's go to Gail in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
How are you today?
Hello. I'm good. I just had a question concerning, they say when you become a Christian, you have a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't have that peace.
Okay.
How do you get that peace?
Well, Gail, you just couldn't have asked it any better, any clearer. And the Word of God responds right back to you in that same direct approach. It says in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then he says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So if we're not experiencing peace that passes understanding, what we probably are experiencing is anxiety, a fear of the future, a fear that we might not be happy, a fear that we may never find happiness, a fear that, you know, our needs are not going to be met, a fear of losing a job, a fear of some form of punishment from God. We can have all sorts of fears that manifest themselves with anxious thinking and anxious thoughts. Well, all of that anxiety points to kind of a deeper issue that we're really not resting in all of the blessings that we currently have in Christ Jesus. And so the prescription that the Word of God gives is to simply say this, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's the key, is to present these requests with an attitude of thanksgiving. And once you do, it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's how we experience peace. It may sound simple, but it really gets down to this issue, Gail, of trusting the Lord Jesus and rejoicing in the fact that he loves you. God loves you right now, Gail. That is just the greatest news I think I could share with you. Your sins have been forgiven. There's no punishment for you. There's no condemnation for you. He's declared you to be righteous in his sight. He accepts you for who you are. He has your future in his hands, and he's promised to work all things together for your good. So there's just all of these wonderful promises of God that are pouring out into your life, and he just wants you to rest in those. And as you rest in those and trust in those, then that anxiety and those feelings of restlessness will change to peace. That's the promise.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense. I've just got to learn to trust in him more rather than
worry about it myself. Are you anxious about anything in particular?
Well, I'm not really anxious about anything. I've lost my father this year and my mother about a year and a half ago. So I'm just kind of in a different place right now.
Yeah, well, are you wondering where they...
I don't blame him because I know they were both Christians and I know that they're both with him. It's just that loss for me of them not being in my life anymore, you know, as far as being able to talk to them.
Right.
And that part of my life is over with and just having a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah. Well, Gail, here's the deal. My dad passed away about 14 years ago, and same type deal. I just wish that, you know, I could pick up the phone and talk to him again. I wish that just one day he'd walk through that door and we could, you know, watch a funny movie together and laugh like we used to, or sit down and watch a Kentucky basketball game. And, you know, all those things are a part of the grieving process. But in that, we have to cling to truth. And what's true is, if they were in Christ, they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Good things are happening for them. And good things can happen for us as we recognize that and rejoice in that truth and know that God hasn't abandoned us. that he's still right here with us every single day, and we can rely upon him, rest in his love, and live in that love as we go through this grieving process. But I do know where you are, Gail. I know what that feels like.
And it's completely normal.
Absolutely. You're not unusual. Well, Gail,
let
me do this. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some resources that can be a help to you. I think we might have some folks in that area that may can connect with you and just walk with you through this journey. And then we would like to keep up with you as well, okay?
Okay.
You hang on, Gail.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call today. Well, let's go to George in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hi, George.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Bob and Richard. I think I'm trying to get this. If Jesus was found to be married, would that change anything? Would that change Christianity? Because supposedly a forensic anthropologist claims that he found the bones of in Israel somewhere of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and I think Jesus's mother.
Well, if he found,
what do you think of that?
Well, if he found bones that he can identify as Jesus, then that just makes the Bible a hoax, because the Bible says that he was raised from the dead. That body that was put into a grave came out of that grave. It was changed. It was immortal. It was spiritual. It was a brand new body. But if they found bones that they can identify as Jesus's, then this story of resurrection is untrue. So I'd have to question what that anthropologist is saying, because the Word of God and the evidence of Christ's resurrection is quite overwhelming. You know, as people have tried to prove the resurrection didn't happen, you know, as they've kind of gathered evidence and looked at the evidence and examined the evidence and done all of the things that those folks do in examining it, they've come to the point and said it's just way too overwhelming. Jesus indeed was raised to life, and that brought them to a point of faith in him, and their lives were changed. So Jesus was raised. There is no body to be found. That body was ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. There's going to be a time when we go and we can see his body face to face. And of course, while he was here before he ascended, he appeared to over 500 people. They touched that body. They felt the body. They saw his body. And they declared that he had truly been risen from the dead and passed on that good news to as many people as possible. Well, George, thanks for your great question. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Just a quick reminder that little booklet that we've produced for you called Forgiveness, The Door to Life is yours for a gift of any amount. The Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 and ask for the Forgiveness booklet. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage. That's Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported ministry reaching out with the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel that saves. You know what? God loves you, and he wants you to know that he loves you. That's why we're here every day, to proclaim that truth. And to keep the message going, we encourage you by the offering of our resources, like the Little Forgiveness booklet, to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. As Bob mentioned, we need to see donations of around $300,000 by the end of this month in order to meet needs. So please join with us in the grace of giving with a special gift today. Again, those links, that link is at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage, or you can call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 1-800-727-2828. Either way is a great way to join us in supporting this message that is changing lives all across the country and literally around the world. It's Basic Gospel. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel staff, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you and good day from Dallas. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.